You're listening to Empathica Radio, home to unsigned metal, hardcore, and punk artists. The true underground.
Hail to the king, baby.
All right, we're on.
We're back.
Here we are. It's good seeing you, Steve.
It's good seeing you.
It's like I hadn't seen you since yesterday. You know, I saw you 7 days.
And you're going to see me for another 14, if you think about it. I've seen you every day this week.
Yeah.
Since you came back from Florida, I've seen you Monday all the way through Friday.
I saw you Saturday.
It's Sunday now. I'm going to see you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at work, and then we go to Branson.
Friday through Sunday.
Sunday. Then I'm going to see you Monday back at work. So I'm like,
through Friday.
So till Friday.
It's like
I'm going to do what I can.
Two Saturdays from now.
I'm going to do what I can to keep this going just so I see you forever.
Should we just move in together?
I'm thinking that's the only next logical step in the relationship.
It would make sense. It'd make it easier for everyone. Just split our mortgage and split all the bills.
It does.
I mean, we'd have to kick that lady that lives.
We're not staying in this house. We're going somewhere else.
Okay. Yeah, we'd have to get a bigger house.
Right.
The both of us. We'd have to sell both these houses and get a bigger house.
Yeah, it sounds like a plan.
I think it would work out. My wife likes to cook. Your wife likes to clean.
Oh, man, this is. Why didn't we think of this before,
dude? This is. We'll have to talk it over a little bit with them, but I'm sure they'll be cool with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess if we. Let the listeners know that.
Dude, there's so many things going through my head right now. I just can't focus. What a great idea we just stumbled upon.
That's a great idea.
Anyways.
Well, I was going to let the listeners know that if they wanted stickers, we have free stickers.
We do?
Yeah, absolutely.
What?
Yeah, if you email your home address to empathicaradio@gmail.com, we will send you stickers.
I'm going to do that right now.
No, don't do that.
Oh. I don't get any free. You can just hand them to me?
Yeah, I'll hand them to you. That's cool. But anybody outside of the U.S., yes, we will still send them to you. But
it may take 6 to 8 weeks.
Yes, because we just sent some to Algeria. Well, I did it like 4 weeks ago, and the guy hit me up and said, hey, I never got my stickers. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I did some research into it, and it said it could take 6 to 8 weeks. I just did it regular mail because they're stickers. I'm not paying $30 to send $2 worth of stickers, you know what I'm saying? I'll pay the dollar post-its to send them. It's fine. I got no problem in that. But so just keep that in mind. They may take a long time if you're out of the U.S. And if you never get it, please let us know.
And we'll try again. We'll try again.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway.
Also, for new listeners, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Music.
Spotify.
That's probably the easiest
place. People like
that. Everybody likes Spotify.
Just go to Spotify.
Right. And also, on our Facebook page, we have a little review tab on there. If you could click that review tab and leave a review, that would be great.
Tell us we suck.
Yeah, you could tell us anything you want.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
We'll read it on the air.
Whatever. Yeah.
Bad, good, whatever.
I don't care if it has anything to do with the podcast.
Yeah, it doesn't. Just leave a 5-star and tell us how your day was. I don't give a fuck.
They're going to leave us a 5-star review. I just murdered my wife. That's it.
You're like, okay. We got 5 stars.
there's something we can do about this? I don't know. Nothing.
Nothing we can do about it.
But if that's what you want to do, go for it.
Awesome.
All right.
So, this
what
episode.
Do we got? What
no,
do we got?
This episode, we are going to be interviewing a band called Grave Huffer out of Joplin, Missouri.
Some cool dudes.
Very cool dudes.
Yeah. I can't wait to. I hope that they get up here soon in St. Louis.
Yes. Yes. We've already actually talked to them. So, you'll be hearing we'll be playing a clip of that. And then when it's all over, we're going to play their new album, Your Fault, in its entirety. So,
bam. Are you going to get those two bonus tracks on there too?
Yeah. By the time this all comes out, I'll have all that and it'll be in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, it is the two bonus tracks that'll be in there are actually something you're only going to be able to get on the vinyl release. So,
or here. Empathica Radio.
You're goddamn right. So, that's awesome. So, without further ado, here is the interview. All right, we are on the air with Richie and Mike of Gravehuffer. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man.
I only hear one guy.
Oh, yeah. You guys doing all right?
Yeah, there he is. There's the other guy.
Man. So, this new album of your guys is Your Fault. It is killer. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Thanks, man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we rocked it out at work.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. I was, I believe, if I remember correctly, Blunt Face Records sent us that, sent you guys to us a while back, and that's how I came across you guys. And I'm very
cool.
And I'm very glad they did.
Right. Awesome.
So, how long have you guys been a band?
Well, since 2008. We actually used to go by Crom, and then we changed our name to Gravehuffer in 2012. Because there was a lot of other Crom bands out there.
Really?
They're all over the place.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. There's like a rapper. And
yeah, there's a bunch of rap bands called Crom.
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
Yeah. So I was actually going to ask that. Where'd you come up with the name Gravehuffer? Because I think it's an awesome
name. It was there's like this rockabilly friend that we had. And we were looking for another band name for months. We just had a whole list. And then we'd take it to band practice, and everyone would get shot down. Right. And so one day we're sitting there making a list, and my friend James lived with the guy. And he was, like, trying to put together a rockabilly band, but he couldn't really get the ball rolling on it.
Right.
And so, like, they had, like, one practice, and then they just stopped. But he was, like, one day he was saying, man, he was complaining about the band not going anywhere. And he's like, well, man, it had a kick-ass name, too. It's like, I was going to call it Gravehuffer. And me and James were like, whoa, what are you going to do with that name? You know? He's like, well, you guys can have it, but I want free merch for life. So we're always hooking them up.
That's a good deal. Hell, that's a real good deal.
Yeah.
It is a pretty good name, because the only thing I can think of is that's fucking disgusting.
Right? Yeah, that's kind of why we were like, whoa. I'm like, that's a terrible name for a rockabilly band. You know? But you're like, I'm going to go see Gravehuffer, and you walk in, and it's like,
yeah.
Like, dude.
A creepy rockabilly band, man.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Gravehuffer playing at the old Grand Opry. I don't know.
Got them, like, some Porter Wagner costumes on, with, like, bedazzled 666 and shit.
Oh, man. Shit. You might have something going there.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Do some country covers.
Yeah.
I think Al Jurgensen did something like that.
Yeah. So.
Anyway. Well, like you said, we like your sound. And like Steve was saying, how would you describe their sound?
Jeez.
It's kind of a mixture.
It is a mixture. You know, the punk and the metal together, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
And that's what I like a lot about it. It's a good... You don't get bored with it. You know, it's...
Cool. Right. Thanks, man.
You know, and even the vocals changed up a lot in it, I felt. And when I first heard you guys, the first thing that stuck out to me were the vocals, which I used to do vocals in bands years ago. So I always initially...
When you're cool.
Yeah, when I was cool. Yeah. But that's what I always tend to always... look at that first in a band.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me a lot of Entombed, like their first two albums, like the beginning.
Oh, cool.
And that really, I was like, oh, I knew right away. I was like, oh shit, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's like that kind of shouty hardcore, but not, you know, I don't know.
Yes.
It is pretty cool though.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, and the way it changes and it goes with the music, everything, you know, excellent. It's all put together very well.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, the way the song, you know, the way it's written, everything, the music, everything flows good. It doesn't sound like nothing comes to a complete stop and then completely changes style.
You know, right. That's the trick, you know, getting it to flow.
Yes, and you guys do an excellent job at that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you guys touring or promoting this album right now, or what do you guys got going on right now?
Well, that's we're just now starting to book shows again. I guess I'll preface this by saying that we had a drummer change, and we haven't played shows in over 2 years.
Oh, geez.
So our other drummer was pretty much tied up with work. He traveled a lot. And we were kind of playing the waiting game for a while, just kind of hoping that, like,
for a whole year.
Yeah. Basically, we waited around for a year because,
like, he couldn't tell us the date that he'd be home because he was a traveling welder. So, we're like, well, let's keep trying. We'll just keep trying. We're still practicing and writing stuff, but he would have to come home. We'd have a practice, and then he'd leave. And he'd only be home for, like, maybe a week.
That's tough.
So, yeah, it made it really difficult. So we got another drummer, and his name's Matt, and he's from a band called Public Assassin, and they were pretty much legends in the underground scene here. And so we got him after they had called it quits, and so far he's working out fantastic. It gives us a little bit different vibe, but you know, he does more double bass work and things like that. So a little bit more of that approach. But yeah, we've got I think 4 or 5 shows booked so far. So you know, and we're actually playing, you know, Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, you know, just around our area. But you know, we're definitely trying to take the music out there a little bit. Starting out,
yeah.
In July, I think, when we start playing shows again.
Oh, cool!
And the new drummer, he's on the new album.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The last song with Larry is on there. Is one of the new vinyl bonus tracks.
Okay.
And the first song with the new guy is the other vinyl bonus track.
Awesome. Yeah, I got that on pre-order there, the vinyl.
That's right.
Oh, cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I can't wait to get that. I've been eager.
Yeah, we can't either.
I know.
We've been like printing up posters and postcards and stuff because we're like, man, we've got to make it so that when they open it up, they're just totally stoked, you know?
Yeah, walk us through that, going through a vinyl production, because I am curious about that. We thought about it in the past when I was in bands, but we never got that far along to pull the trigger on it. I mean, I know it's a process, but I don't think a lot of people realize the work that goes into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We're sitting here right now staring at a computer screen going over details of the insert, looking, you know, for the vinyl.
Thank yous, you know, and the stuff like that.
The lyrics and thank yous and credits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're working on that, like, as we speak. And but yeah, like you say, it is a process. And when we originally wrote this Your Fault album, we had every intention of putting it out on vinyl. That was like our primary objective, I guess.
Right on.
You know, so.
Yeah, we knew, like, Rich's like, okay, this is going to be the first song of side two. You know, the album's going to start with this song, end with this song. And it was totally set up like that. And then when this other label had us, they kind of shelved it. And so it's set for like 9 or 10 months.
Something like, yeah.
Jeez.
And so, you know, and then the label went under. So then we're like, oh, shit. So we kind of scrambled around. Right. And luckily, BFR was, like, on us, you know. And they're super awesome to work with, really easy to get along with. They're, like, it's not like a company. It's, like, it's more like a collective. Like, all the bands on the label, like, help each other out, you know. Like,
that's awesome.
Someone's like, hey, if you need bass on this, if you guys need bass, let me know. If you guys need any guitar solos, let this band know. You know, it's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they helped us put together the pre-sale and all that stuff and set all that up for us and did press releases for us and things like that. And it was just kind of cool to, you know, put our heads together with them to come up with a plan and a schedule for everything, because you got to plan this stuff out.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise shit gets lost in the shuffle. So it just, the music and the sleeve are officially at the factory. So nice. That part is actually starting. That process is actually starting. Luckily, we pretty much had a vinyl layout ready to go. We just had to make some tweaks to it because, you know, obviously it's on a different record label. And a few other things have changed, like we recorded 2 extra songs and stuff like that. So, but other than that, it was real easy. We told our layout guy what we wanted, and he got it whipped out in like half an hour or something.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, it, it was kind of cool. We pretty much had our ducks in a row when we were just ready to do it. And it was just basically tweaking everything to make sure there wasn't any errors, mistakes. Like, for instance, we got the master back for the vinyl, and there was an anomaly on there. And so we had to tell the guy, we need it. We're going to need this fixed. And so, you know, bands, if you get your stuff done, make sure you listen to it before you send it off.
Right. I've heard that. Now, does that cost extra to have them fix it, or is that all part of the...
No, it's no. He did it for nothing.
Okay.
He did it up since it was on his end. He fixed it for us, and he did a fantastic job. I mean, the master sounds freaking amazing.
Yeah, that's another thing. It has to be mastered for vinyl.
Right.
You know, correct. Like, they have to totally remix it in some cases and remaster it.
Well, yeah, it's like it's not as compressed, and it's in a different... The kilohertz and the waves and the bits are all different for vinyl. So
right.
And plus, it's two tracks. It's not split up in tracks like CDs are. So it's like one track's 20 minutes and the other track's 18 minutes or
nice.
Whatever.
Okay.
So... And then they have a cue sheet they have to put together that tells the vinyl pressing plant, okay, there needs to be a groove here that indicates this song ends and another one begins and all. I mean, it's a lot to be involved with. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's my shit. I don't understand.
It's been kind of exciting to do it, though, man. It's fun. But yeah, it is a lot of work.
You just think, maybe we should just put this out on cassette instead. Or...
Well, we did put it on cassette.
Yeah, cassettes are coming back. Do you have it on cassette too?
Yeah, awesome. We put it on cassette.
Okay,
it's on cool. This like clear red cassette shell. That turned out really cool.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, because it's like the only thing I buy anymore is vinyl. You know, I don't even know when the last time I bought a CD was. And the only time I do that is if I buy like a bundle package or something
when
a band comes
too.
Out because I want the shirt is what I'm getting it for.
Exactly.
but they always come with a CD, so I'm like, whatever. If not, I'll do the vinyl because I'll get the vinyl and then I'll do a digital download. You know, I'll get that
right.
For my phone because I just shit my most cars nowadays. They don't even come with CD players anymore. You know,
right.
So everything's digital. But I've always liked the vinyl more for the bigger artwork.
Yeah.
And this and that. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. You can just really get into it. And like I say, more artwork, it's just more opportunity for the artwork. So I mean,
right.
It's just kind of a no brainer.
Yeah. I know the wife doesn't like it too much. Like there's constantly records coming in the mail.
Yeah.
But you guys have any plans to come up here to St. Louis at all? Do some shows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, nothing like.
They're like, hell no.
Like, planned out right now. But, yeah, we're going to, man. I promise you that. I mean.
Yeah, it's been too long, man. We need to, like, hit it hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a friend that books at Foo Bar, and so.
Okay.
That would probably be where we would go.
Yeah.
There's a band from, like, Wisconsin that I'm trying to set a show up with in St. Louis called Casket Robbery.
Yeah, I know who they are.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, they.
I mean, Casket Robbery and Grave Huffer. Come on.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Band from here in St. Louis, drummer that we know that we interviewed. They he filled in for them on one of their last tours, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. So
getting ready to start a tour here, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I think they are. They're a good band.
Yeah, they are.
That would be awesome though.
Oh yeah, that'd be
right, yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah,
actually,
we definitely
met the guitar player and the singer here a couple weeks ago, and so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be an excellent show.
Right.
Might have to drive down to Joplin for that.
Well, we're wanting to book it there in St. Louis. So.
Yeah, keep us updated on that because that'd be fucking killer.
Right on. Will do.
We never went to Joplin for a concert or anything.
No, I haven't. I don't know if I don't think I've ever been down.
We drive. We go Kansas City, Chicago, but we never.
Yeah.
We've never been down your direction.
We'll be playing Kansas City. We'll be playing, you know, Springfield is
July 20th.
Yeah, we're playing Springfield July 28th.
Oh, okay.
That's about how far it is from St. Louis to Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's like a Midwest Metal Fest.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be eight bands. And July 20th, we're playing here in Joplin. The 21st, we're playing in Harrison, Arkansas.
Don't know where
and
that's
then
at.
August 26th, we're opening for Night Demon in Tulsa.
Oh, cool.
So that's what we've got like set in stone so far.
How far is Tulsa for you guys?
About an hour and a half.
Oh, shit. That ain't bad.
No, not at all.
I was trying to explain to Steve where exactly Joplin was because he's bad at geography.
Very bad.
So I was like, it's about 5 hours from St. Louis.
Yeah.
So they say shit the way they talked about it in St. Louis when you guys got hit with that tornado. They made it sound like you were right here in St. Louis the way the media was up here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I realized, like, I was like,
the bottom left corner.
I was like,
I mean, we're like 5 or 10 minutes from Kansas, about 20 minutes from Oklahoma, and like 45 minutes from Arkansas.
Oh, God. Yeah, so you're just like, right down there in the corner.
Right there in the bottom.
But, yeah, like I said, all the news outlets up here made it sound like you guys were, like, in our area when that all happened.
Oh, no. No, a little ways away.
That's pretty far away.
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah, that tornado was a bad deal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
No.
Did it mess with any of your friends or family? Were you?
Yeah, I lost my house.
Did you? Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It was pretty bad, man. I mean, there was a lot of people we knew that lost homes. And,
man.
You know, it was just lost pets. I mean, we knew a few people that unfortunately passed away. And it was kind of scary, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It was really scary.
Well, put it
that
this
was another year that we took off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we end up taking off the rest of that year because of it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All that crap you got to put back together, I can't imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, because we practiced at my house, and so, like, band practice, the space was just gone. So, we had to find a new place to play, and so it was kind of a weird deal.
We get little...
Wet.
Yeah.
We get, like, little pussy tornadoes up here in St. Louis.
Right.
But do you guys get a lot down there, or was that just kind of a freak thing?
Something like that was definitely, like, a probably... I don't know about once in a lifetime thing, but it's not normally near that bad, but
yeah,
just a freak
occurrence.
I mean,
it used to be like those tornado sirens would go off all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we hear them every year.
You know, so everyone's like, "Oh, there's a tornado somewhere," so no one really cared.
Yeah, right. That's how they do up here. They do that up here too.
They do that if it fucking hails.
They're like, "There's on." We see some funny looking clouds 20 miles away, and the sirens go off, and you're like, "Ugh."
I don't, right, you're like,
you just start to not care about it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, well, now when it goes off,
that's
like
a different
the sky and like, holy shit.
Yeah, people are like, you know, going to the basement.
They pay attention to the news more. And,
yeah.
You know, I had a friend that right after the tornado, his house got was flattened, and he's like, as soon as he got his insurance money, he moved to Salt Lake City. And I said, dude, why'd you pick Salt Lake City? You know? And he's like, because there's never been a tornado here.
That's right. I just say no fucking tornadoes.
Yeah, he was...
It fucked him up.
Yeah, he did.
But now he lives in Springfield, so he kind of moved back to Tornado Alley, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty big deal, because I read in... Stephen King's Dr. Sleep, which is a sequel to The Shining, and Joplin's mentioned in the book about the tornado. Oh, yeah. I was like, holy shit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Huh. Just a little brief mention of you guys in there, actually. I was just like, oh, fuck. So, I mean, it was a lot bigger deal, I think, when you got someone on the other side of the country, or, you know, famous writer, and
it was like a national news, man. It's crazy.
We had one about 5 miles from me about... That was a while back, years back.
I think I remember that
one. The one in Bridgeton.
Yeah.
And I had a friend, and he said, you can feel it. Like, you can feel the pressure, like, drop in your house when it's close.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He's like, you know when it's close. You feel it in your body. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like this weird.
I've never felt
it's like
that.
A train rolling right beside your house, dude.
Yeah, I've always heard
it's
it.
It's like this giant roar, you know, and it's like thunder that didn't stop. It just like kept getting going and going and going, and we're like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, like, my wife and I just had twins, and they were 6 weeks old.
Oh, God.
those kids 3 and 4, and so we're all in our bathtub and huddled up, and you could hear doors slamming and like glass breaking and popping, and it was fucking crazy.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine that.
Do you have a basement or no basement?
Yeah, we didn't have a basement.
You had no basement? Ah, jeez.
Where the fuck are we gonna go? You know,
I mean, right?
That was the day that we had band practice. And we usually had band practice till 5 or 6.
Right.
And like the drummer's like, "Oh, I gotta stop early and take my daughter somewhere." So he left. And so we all went home. I got home, and like 10 minutes later is when it hit.
Oh, jeez.
But we were like, dude, we could have been practicing. We probably wouldn't even have heard it.
Right? Might not have. All of a sudden, everything just would start fucking shaking, and you'd be like, "What the hell's going on?"
Right.
All of a sudden, the shit starts flying.
Right.
Totally freaking out.
Yeah.
Man, that's wild shit.
Yeah, that's very wild.
Yeah, it was definitely something else.
So that knocked us out of commission for about a year. So.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'm ready to start playing some fucking shows, though, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah, two years is a long time to go without getting shows, you know.
Right.
But
yeah,
it's totally understandable from the situation you guys are in, because it does suck when you got a member that's working, because, I mean, it's work, you know what I'm saying? So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Right, so right.
It was hard to make that decision, because we had been in bands with him off and on since the late 90s.
Sure. Since 95.
And yeah, Mike and him have been a rhythm section
since 95. Like every band that I've been in, he's been in.
Oh wow!
So yeah, it was tough, man.
Yeah.
Or since then, anyway.
Yeah, so it was definitely tough to say, well, time to move on. You know, I mean, because there's friendship involved. You know,
it's absolutely. Like
so it's not like you just say, "Oh fuck it, we're gonna move on."
You know? Yeah, you don't want.
You have to be delicate about these things, you know.
So. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he understood.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. There's no bad words.
Yeah, no animosity.
That's awesome.
It was totally cool. But the new guy, at first I didn't know what to think, because I'm like the punk, you know, my background is punk and stuff. And
okay.
So playing with Larry, he's a punk drummer. He only played single kick, you know, it was like old punk beats. And the new guy, he's more like the metal, double bass, and doing these different time signature type of things. At first, I didn't know what to think about it, but man, I'm really liking it now. It's like, the songs that are slowed down a little bit, like he put double bass on them, so they're like, they might be a little slower, but now it's like a tractor.
Right.
It's like, damn, this sounds cool.
Yeah, some of the stuff seems like it's gotten a little like heavier, for lack of a better word.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different flavor.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
No, not at all.
It's just like another gear. Like we got. Instead of like 5-speed transmission, now we got 6 speeds.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, we like the sound. I mean,
yeah,
I like the mixture. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. Keeps you from getting bored. You know.
Yeah.
It's definitely not one of those albums where it's like I listen to the first 3 or 4 songs and I get bored. It ends and I'm like, oh, all of a sudden it's back at the first track again. And I'm like, oh shit, it's over with already? It's like, God damn.
Yeah, I know. It goes by pretty quick.
But, so what do you got the rest of the year looking like for you guys? What's your plan for the rest of 2018?
Well, mainly playing shows. We are starting to write for our next album, because this Your Fault stuff, shit, it was supposed to come out probably 2 years ago.
Right, it's new to us, but...
Well, about a year and a half ago, maybe. So yeah, it's to us, it's like, oh my God, we've been playing this shit forever. And so we're starting to write new stuff, and...
Probably got about 5 or 6 new songs.
Yeah, we're already playing... We've already got, like, 2 songs we're going to play live.
Oh, cool.
Just wrote. One of them is called Stalingrad's Cross, and it's about the Battle of Stalingrad in World War II. And then we got another song called Demon Face, which is about this guy named Edward Mordrake. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but apparently he had this like second face on the back of his head, and like it would just go and do all this weird blabbing and shit to him, and I guess it just drove him crazy.
That sounds familiar.
That does sound familiar.
It does sound familiar.
Dude, I saw a picture of it, because I was like, what? They're like, James Googles it. I was like, holy shit.
We'll have to look that up again.
What was, face on the back of his head.
Yeah, it's a face on the back of his head. Not the very back. It's kind of off-center a little bit. But I guess it would just, like, do the opposite emotion of what Edward would do. Like, if he was happy, it would be sad. If he was laughing, it would be crying or you know, that's it would get up on his nerves and stuff. And so he called it his demon face. And
it said that it would tell him that, he said it tells him things that happen in hell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy, man. I guess he was like royalty, British royalty or something.
I don't know.
Something like that.
Oh, and then they said when he died, he's like, last thing he said was like, cut this thing off of me. I don't want to be buried with it.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah, dude.
Terrible.
Some dark shit.
We write about the fun stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we're looking at that.
James writes some really cool lyrics, and like it just feels like every time he comes up with a subject, it's just he keeps bettering himself. So we're really, I mean, he said he's never been this excited in the band ever. So,
you know. Well, yeah, for a while he was going to move to Arkansas because he's like had a bad breakup with the girl, and you know, and he's just like, man, there's not anything for me in this town anymore. He's kind of bummed out.
Yeah.
He was telling us, man, I'm just going to move and try to start fresh somewhere else. We're like, okay, you know.
Right.
That's, you know, so we kind of started looking around for a singer. And he hadn't heard, like, the new songs we've been working on. And so we got the new drummer. We started working on some of the new stuff. And he missed a couple of practices. And then he finally came. And then we were talking about this other singer we're going to get. The guy used to sing at Public Assassin. I go, hey, we should ask him if he wants to sing. So they're on the ride home. It's about an hour back and forth to practice. And,
okay.
James is like, hey, guys, I don't think I'm going to leave. I think I'm going to, because these new songs kind of lit a fire under my ass. He's like, I think I'm going to try to ride this out. I'm going to stick around. So we're like, okay, cool, man.
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That was pretty cool to hear that. So we weren't sure what we were going to do. We were like, well, we get a new singer or... The last ditch resort was like, I was going to sing and play guitar.
Yeah.
Because I've done that before, but I mean, I don't like to, but I would.
I can't imagine that's very easy. I could never play an instrument anyways. So it always, to me, it's like, how the fuck can you do it with your hands doing something and you're doing different timing with, that just seems like too much.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how, like, the guys that do it, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, if someone even asked me a yes or no question, it's hard for me to go, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm all right with that. But like I was practicing the other night, my wife was talking to me, and I was playing, but, I mean, it's still, I still have to, like, really think about it.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to give one thing the attention. I don't think I can focus on both things. Like,
that's what I'd be,
you know?
I think I would be playing the guitar, and then slowly you'd hear my vocals just be like, just start going. Right. They would just go away because I'd start focusing on the guitar.
I usually, like, flub one thing or the other. You know what I mean? Like, the vocals are going to sound kick-ass here, and then I'm going to, like, mumble.
When
this tricky guitar part comes up, you know?
Man. Well, we really appreciate you guys coming on, man. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for your time, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's good talking to you guys. Yes. Enjoyed it.
We'll let you know as soon as we get a show up there.
Oh, yeah. Please do. Please do.
Especially if you're coming with...
I'm guessing it'll probably be maybe this fall sometime.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep us posted.
We're definitely trying to book shows hard and heavy, man.
Right on.
It's good to hear.
Well, are you guys okay if we play your entire album in its entirety after the interview?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, have at it.
All right,
do you guys have the final bonus tracks also, or do you just have the 11 songs?
I think I just have the 11 songs.
Okay. Well, let me send you...
We'll send you the two new ones, the last one with the old drummer and the first one with the new drummer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So you can check out the new drummer.
Right on. We'll put them all on there.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Sounds
good, man.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice talking to you guys.
Bye.
You too, man. Yeah. Have a good one.
You do.
Yeah. sick of me. Watch them bleed out, enjoy the best you be. They twist the death, they bring you life. You cannot stop until it's killing time.
Yeah! We'll be right back. 1960s represented the last burst of the human being before he was extinguished. And that this is the beginning of the rest of the future now. And from now on, there'll simply be all these robots walking around, feeling nothing, thinking nothing.
Yeah.
probably left almost to remind them that there once was a species called a human being with feelings and thoughts, and that history and memory are right now being erased, and soon nobody will really remember that life existed on the planet Earth.